In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the sermon last week, we heard about the mysterious Voynich manuscript. This week, we have another odd opening illustration. Have you ever heard of Evil Eye Finkel? Benjamin Finkel was a boxer in the 1920s. He won 5 fights, lost 1, and 2 were draws. But his real fame came as a manager and trainer of boxers. Mr. Finkel had an eye condition that made one of his eyes perpetually bloodshot. He claimed that he could look at an opposing boxer and make him lose by putting his evil eye on him. Hence the nickname, Evil Eye. Famous boxers, including some world champions, would pay Mr. Finkel between $500 and $300 per fight, a lot of money in those days, to put the evil eye on their opponents. The evil eye didn't always work, but it seemed to work often enough to make Evil Eye Finkel famous. Perhaps just knowing that old Evil Eye Finkel was in the other guy's corner had a negative effect on some boxers. This relates to our gospel reading today because the word translated as envy in Jesus' speech is literally an evil eye in the original Greek. Some of the older Bible translations, such as the King James Version, render it just that way. People in the Middle East in Jesus' day, and even today, believed in what was known as the evil eye. They believed that you could put a curse on someone simply by looking at them. The curse might not even be intentional. If someone with the evil eye admired something you had, it was believed that you would lose it some way. I've known people today who believe that. In the religions of the Middle East, there were, and still are, both prayers and superstitions using amulets and such for warding off the evil eye. We are certainly not saying that the curse of the evil eye is real. However, envy and its effects are most real. Envy is the motivation for a lot of sin. Where does adultery come from? Someone sees another person who is not their spouse and desires him or her. Where does theft come from? Someone sees something that someone else has and wants it and takes it. That is not only true for purse snatching and smash and grabs, it's also true for white-collar crime and posse schemes and such. In fact, all sin could be seen as stemming from our envy of God. We want to be like him, making the rules, controlling other people's lives, and getting all the praise and glory. There's a little evil eye, some ungodly envy in all of us, just waiting to come out. Jesus said that envy is one of the things that comes out of a person and makes that person unclean. He listed others: sexual immorality, murder, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, slander, arrogance, and folly, in addition to the ones we've already mentioned. Being unclean was serious business in Israel in Jesus' time. A person who was religiously unclean was cut off from the religious community, cut off from their family, and pretty much cut off from society as a whole. To be considered unclean was terrible. Following the law of Moses, the Jews judged some kinds of uncleanliness based on what a person consumed. Devout Jews were not allowed to eat shellfish or pork or other kinds of foods. To do so would make them unclean. As the Son of God, Jesus had the authority to overturn those ceremonial laws, and he did. The time for what the kosher laws of the Jews had to teach us was past when Jesus was born. Those laws showed us how great God is and how we fail at doing what he says, even at simple, inconsequential things. The ethical and moral laws of God still stood, and they still stand today. Jesus did not do away with the Ten Commandments or the laws like that. Sometimes people will try to justify adultery or theft by saying something like, well, you eat shrimp, don't you? And we could say back, I'll give up shrimp if you give up adultery. But that's really not necessary. We can keep on eating shrimp. The truth of Scripture is that Jesus declared all foods clean, as verse 19 of today's gospel reading records. But nowhere does Jesus ever repeal the prohibitions on adultery, theft, murder, and things like that. They still hold. You can have a ham sandwich, but you cannot have your neighbor's spouse. You cannot even look at a person with envy or lust, Jesus says. Jesus doesn't nullify the law. He takes it to a higher level. But we trespass Jesus' laws. We do. If envy is the motivation behind many sins, perhaps feeling of inferiority are behind much of envy. Life has a way of putting us down. Other people often make us feel as if we are failures. Even when we are successful, we often feel that we are somehow not good enough, not worthy of love and respect. We imagine there are things out there that would make us feel good about ourselves and take away our insecurities. If only I had that job and salary. If only I had that house or car. If only that person loved me, then I'd be all right. But nothing is ever enough. Even having everything doesn't satisfy. Look at the sad, sad lives of so many celebrities. There is good news and bad news. Let's hear the bad news first. It's not just a complex. We all are inferior. All of us. We are inferior to God. But the good news is that God loves us anyway. He loves us and he can cure us of all that ails us, including our feelings of inferiority, our sin of envy, and even the curse of the evil eye. How does he do that? Imagine that you are a boxer and the opponent you are fighting is the personification of sin. The person you're fighting sin is bigger and stronger and much more experienced than you are. You don't stand a chance. Sin is going to beat you to a pulp. But what if you had a helmet? Then instead of punching your fragile skull, sin would be pounding his hands against hard steel. What if you had a shield to block all his attacks? What if you had a sword? That would turn the odds in your favor and make sin throw in the towel. The point is that despite our unworthiness, God has raised us up. Our sins died with Jesus on the cross, and our hopes rose with him as he came out of the grave. He has given us the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. We know that we are saved. His word, like a sword, defends us. When life attacks us, when sin puts us down, we can go to the word for comfort and direction. Do you still feel inferior? Like you don't measure up. Think on this. God thought enough of you to send his only son to die for your salvation. You must be of incredible value to God. Do we still envy other people what they have? God has blessings in store for us in heaven that are so wonderful we cannot even begin to imagine them now. Everything on earth pales in comparison to what God has waiting for us. When we think of what Jesus gave up for us, it chases away all of our envious thoughts. When we think of our future in Christ, it soothes our pains. We need not fear anyone's evil eye, and we have no more reason for our eyes to be envious and evil. Instead, we can turn a clear, hopeful eye towards God's promises of goodness and light and see the effects of faith that He so generously gives us. Amen.